Hi, this is Katie Day, and welcome back to Creating Ripples, the programme that showcases inspirational women over 50 across the globe. You don't have to be a Mother Teresa to make an impact on the world. Sometimes the small acts and achievements can create the biggest ripples. We're here to share some amazing stories. They will make you laugh, sometimes they may make you cry. They will always inspire you. Today, it is my absolute pleasure to be interviewing the wonderful Jenny Hallam. Jenny is a catalyst for change, growth, and development in your career, your business, and your life. She is passionate about empowerment, particularly helping women to recognize and increase their power and influence and work together to achieve their goals. Jenny has a background in education as a teacher, trainer, and lecturer, and over 10 years now as a practicing coach. She has extensive experience of helping people of all ages to recognise and reach their potential. Jenny runs workshops and retreats where women can take time for themselves to review their lives and reconnect with their dreams, their power and their potential. So what does Jenny believe? She believes that change doesn't need to be difficult. It is never too late. There is no such thing as failure. And life and learning should be fun. Absolutely, Jenny. Life and learning should be fun. Thank you very much for joining me on Creating Ripples and for giving up your time, because we were chatting before and it sounds as though you're moving, because you were talking about new curtains. So I think you have a pretty busy life going on at the moment.
I most certainly do. Yes, it's all changed. But I think that, I think change is empowering.
It can be. It's really down to our reaction to change, isn't it? Of whether we deem it to be difficult, a challenge, an opportunity, a learning, fun. So with your background and to where you are today, how did you get to the point where you believed that change doesn't need to be difficult and life and learning should be fun?
Well, I think the latter, the life and learning should be fun, is something I've always believed. And it was a real fundamental part of my whole approach to education, was making it fun, and, you know, believing that life could be fun. The change aspect, I think it's come about through having to go through quite a number of very big changes in my own life, and realizing that even what may seem like the worst thing at the time is always a gift in some way. It's always some sort of opportunity.
It is. I absolutely agree with you. But sometimes when you're in it, it's really difficult. Even though logically you know that, sometimes when you're in a really challenging situation, to hang on to that belief and use it as a strength to help you get through can be really, really hard. So I know you've had some amazing experiences in your life. I know a bit about your background. So share that with the listeners and how you transferred that knowing to yourself in those times.
Yeah. Okay. Well, probably the biggest learning came when the universe decided to make me ill. And that happened at a time where I was at a low ebb. Mm-hmm. I was doing a job that I no longer loved. I loved the children, but I didn't love the job because I was finding it increasingly frustrating to work in a system that didn't think the way that I thought. And I just wanted really to do something different, and I didn't know what. And I was carrying on and carrying on and carrying on. I then had meningitis, which you would have thought that was a big enough lesson to say, stop and think, stop and think. But I got better and I went back into the same work situation and the same kind of feeling stuck And then, I was made ill again with a bacterial infection in my spine, and I ended up in hospital for 3 months.
Wow.
And it was that experience that really, really helped me to appreciate that the potential of the change there was that I might not be able to walk again.
Wow.
And that was, like I say, it was a gift. Because it gave me the impetus that I needed, the catalyst. You know, I use the word catalyst when I talk about myself. And that was my catalyst for change. And I realized it really through doing or playing a game that I discovered in a book where you asked yourself what you would do if you were given £1 million. Now, this was quite a few years ago. And these days, when I ask people the question, I always say £5 million. With my £1 million, I just decided what I really, really wanted to do, which was to help empower women and help them realize their potential. And I wanted to run retreats on a Greek island. And I wrote all about that. And then I realized that I could do it without the £1 million. So I just decided I was getting better. I defied doctors and got better. And I've been on the path towards achieving that dream ever since. And it's been interesting and it's been challenging, but it hasn't been difficult. And the reason it hasn't been difficult is because it's all to do with change that I want.
It's interesting, isn't it? If we can get, I mean, there's a few things in there I just kind of want to pick up on, which I think are really, really interesting, is when you said the universe sent you a message and decided to make you ill, and you got meningitis, and you only partly listened, but you didn't really listen. There is something, do you believe that there is something within us that we get very comfortable with the familiar, even if the familiar is working against us? And sometimes change for people can be more scary than living with the negative situation.
Absolutely. I think that completely sums it up. And it is what most people do, is they carry on with the life they have because it feels safe, because it's their comfort zone. But if you're going to have what you really desire, if you're going to achieve what you are capable of achieving, then nine times out of ten, you've got to step outside that comfort zone and say, no, I'm going to give this a go.
I love the fact that you said you defied doctors and you decided to get well. I mean, our minds are so unbelievably powerful. I mean, I don't think... The most amazing brain on the planet, the person who owns that brain, is probably fulfilling their full potential as far as the capacity of our mind is concerned. It's phenomenally powerful. I mean, what did you do? I mean, just kind of on a practical sense, you know, that kind of throwaway comment, Jenny, when you said, I decided to prove the doctors wrong and I decided to get well and, confounded them. That's that kind of throwaway statement, which is, whoa, okay. So how does that work then? what did you do?
Well, I think it's, and this is why the whole experience was such a gift, because I discovered my real inner strength. And it was about, it's exactly what you've just said. I mean, you're quite right. Our minds, our brains are far more than we understand, and no, none of us are achieving the potential in that way. But I do think that having an experience like that opens up parts of you that maybe hadn't been used before because of the degree of the challenge. And I think the other thing is it's about who you are. So everyone is someone... right inside at a sort of core level, right inside sort of underneath all your beliefs and values and everything else, there is the core you, who you are meant to be and what you're for. And what I realised when doctors started to talk to me about potentially not being able to walk properly again, that core screamed out, no, that's not possible, because I'm such a physical person. I love moving. And you know, anyone who knows me will tell you, you know, I'm in the front row of the classes in the gym, bouncing around and so on. And I couldn't imagine my life like that. It was just like they were saying, no, you can't be you anymore. So I thought, well, I'm going to be me, and that means I'm going to get better. So I just focused all my energy on getting better. And it meant that it was mind over matter. It was doing everything that I was in my conscious, but also, I suppose, subconscious power to speed physical recovery. And I think if you have the belief that you can do something, it makes a heck of a lot of difference to whether you can do it or not.
Oh, it does. And there's a great quote by Henry Ford, I think. There are two kinds of people in the world, those who think they can and those who think they can't, and they're both right.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's very much, we have to decide, am I I can or I can't person?
Yeah.
I mean, we do have the amazing ability to heal ourselves. Was there a point... Okay, I'm going to ask you this question. Do you believe, having gone through that experience, that physical ailments are linked to emotional dis-ease and that they manifest in a physical way if we don't deal with the deep-seated emotional side of our bodies, our minds, that, and if we don't listen to the whispers that our body gives us, the whisper ends up being a shout? And it's, if we deal with the deep emotional issues, then that will have a strong impact on reversing the physical manifestations.
Well, I say you put it very eloquently, so therefore, all I can say is yes and yes, yes. You know, that is absolutely not only what I believe, but I think I see it, I experience it all the time in the work that I do. Because so often people who are unhappy, and as a coach, you do see people who are unhappy quite often. Usually there is a physical manifestation of it, but it's so very clearly linked to what's going on in their life, to their mental state. And when you work on the mental state, the physical state is inevitably affected. And you see it most clearly, I think, with people when they get depressed. Because they stop looking after their physical bodies, and that's why I believe that one of the best medicines for depression and for mental illness as well is physical exercise, because it's the two things working together. The more you are using your body and your systems, everything's flowing and moving around. And the two just feed each other. It's the only way I can describe it. So one of the questions I always ask every one of my clients is, what are you doing to take care of yourself physically? What do you love doing in a physical sense? And do more of that. It will help your mind. The two are very closely linked.
What about laughter? Do you think laughter plays a part in our healing?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Life and learning should be fun. And can be fun always. And like I say, even the worst things that happen to you have within them not only a lesson, but I think it's enjoy. somewhere, and the more you can laugh, and whatever makes you laugh, whether it's silly jokes or anything at all. The physical act of laughing, even smiling, it's very difficult to feel depressed when you smile.
Well, it's impossible, isn't it, actually? I mean, it's amazing the impact it has on our whole bodies, our whole physiology. If you're smiling, it's also impossible to have slumped shoulders.
Yes.
It's kind of the whole body kind of catches up with the smile and follows. And it's amazing the impact that it has. I heard something, this is a slight aside, but I heard something unbelievably scary just recently, that doctors are noticing that as the demand for Botox increases, so does the demand for antidepressants. Because what they're finding is if you have Botox around your forehead and eyes, you might smile with your mouth, but it can't travel up to the eyes. And we all know when somebody is giving us a genuine smile and when somebody's giving us a fake smile, because we just have to look at the eyes. So it's really interesting that because the face isn't registering a full smile, which releases the endorphins, the body doesn't know that's what it's doing. And it's going into a state of depression. I mean, how scary is that?
It's horrendously scary.
And I hope that message gets out loud and clear to everyone.
Absolutely.
So that they realise that they're much better off with a few laughter lines and smile lines on their faces.
I've worked very hard for my lines and my curves, Jenny. I have absolutely every intention of hanging on to all of them. So you talked about retreats for women in Greece. Tell us a bit more about that. Are they happening? How long have they been going on?
Okay, well, I'm heading towards the first one.
Okay.
Take place in 2016.
Right.
The retreats that I'm running are in this country.
They're actually in Cornwall. By the sea in Newquay.
Oh, beautiful.
It's a very, very beautiful place. And so there's a weekend retreat. The next one of those is in February 2016. But the plan is to bring the dream alive in the autumn of 2016. It's going to be in an area of Greece called Evia, which is very beautiful. Right by the sea, in a lovely place that's used for yoga retreats. So it's gorgeous and peaceful. It has infinity pools and all the other lovely things. And most importantly of all, it is in Greece. I lived in Greece for 7 years, and I think that Greece is a place with a great deal of natural healing power. It's the only way I can describe it.
It has a wonderful energy.
And I think if ever there was a good place for people to be able to go and refresh and renew themselves, revitalize themselves, re-energize, all those words.
Then Greece is it.
How amazing. So how long are the retreats for, and what do you do with people? Talk us through a program.
Well, first of all, the retreats we're running in England are weekend retreats.
So it's two full days. People would come on the Friday night, and then beautiful surroundings, etc. And a spa, of course. On the first day, there is a workshop called Increase Your Power and Influence. It's a full-day workshop where the women actually have a chance to explore their own power, realise where and how they're giving their power away, because most women do that.
Look at different ways in which they can begin to take that power back.
Build it, look at their influence and where they want to be more influential in their life. And specific practical things as well, like better negotiation skills, all kinds of things that could be applied both in their profession and personal life. And then we go back to pleasure in the evening. We have a dinner in a beautiful restaurant by the sea.
And then on Sunday,
on the second day, on the Sunday, it's consultation sessions and group activities and an outdoor coaching session as well, if the weather permits, where we actually go down by the sea and talk as we walk. Because I think Cornwall, like Greece, is a very renewing environment. Just really a chance for people to formulate their plan and go forward,
take what they've
learned back into their lives. When we move to the Greek retreat, it's similar in structure. There are actually two Increase Your Power and Influence workshops. So the Greek retreat will have one at the beginning of the week and one at the end of the week. And then in between, there will be coaching sessions and group activities, but there will also be a whole range of pleasure-giving, nurturing things going on, like yoga classes and massage and facials and the beautiful
Greek sea.
It sounds absolutely blissful. How many women do you take on these retreats?
The ideal number would be 12.
Right.
We could do up to 20.
But 12 is a magic number.
There is something about a group of people.
It just works.
It does, actually, when I run training. It's funny, isn't it? I hadn't really thought about it, but actually 12 is a magic number. I wonder if it's something to do with the astrological connections or something, or months of the year, but I don't know. But it's right. It is a very good number. Is it just you as a facilitator? Do you have other people working with you?
I am working with a lady who's been
a long-term business partner of mine. Her name is Joy Cornthwaite.
She also has an education background, and she's also a coach.
At the moment, I'm the main leader of the workshops because she's engaged in full-time employment, but she will be moving out of that next year to work more with me on the retreat. And there are also a team of people who provide the extras, so a brilliant therapist who does all kinds of aromatherapy massage, which also does Reiki healing and all kinds of other wonderful things that leave you feeling utterly amazing after you've spent an hour with her. And at the retreat in Evia, they have on-site people who do yoga, etc.
It sounds utterly blissful. Where can people find out about you, about the retreats in Greece and Cornwall? Bearing in mind this goes out in Southern California. It's not beyond the realms of possibility that people can get on a plane in LA and fly out to Greece. It happens a lot. So how can people find out more about you and the retreats, Jenny?
Anyone from anywhere in the world will be very welcome.
The information about the retreats will be going on my new website, which is jennyhallam.com. There is also, as far as the Cornish weekend, it's the workshop on the Her Invitation website, and on my website within the next couple of weeks there will be a page all about it where people can just go and sign up.
Fantastic. And that's on the Jenny Hallam website or on the Her Invitation?
The sign-up page will be on jennyhallam.com.
And that's J-E-N-N-I, isn't it?
That's right. H-A-L-L-A-M. Perfect.
Well, that will be under your bio on the webpage for the radio as well, so people can find you. So in the final 30-odd seconds, Jenny, what's in store for you? going forward, apart from these retreats in Greece, where are you going to be?
Where am I going to be?
Eventually, I'm going to be living at least part of my year in Greece, because that's where my soul lives, if you like. But where I'm going to be, what I'm going to be doing, is a whole lot more of the same. I just love working with people to help them to make the life they want. And the more of that that I can do, the better. I especially love working with women who are in that 40 plus age band, because I think so many of those women just don't give themselves enough time. They give away so much of their energy looking after others. And I really believe that, you know, if you like the second half of your life, the most important thing you can do is look after you and make happen the things that you want to happen.
Absolutely, that is the perfect place to end. I absolutely agree with you. I loved turning 50, and the older I get, the younger I become. I just love it. Thank you, Jenny, so much. This has been Katie Day, the High Heeled Leader, with Creating Ripples, the programme where women over 50 are showcased as the fabulous, amazing and awesome human beings we are. Coming up in future weeks, we have some amazing, wonderful and inspiring women with their unique stories. So make sure you tune in, feel inspired and start thinking about how you create your own ripples in life. Thank you so much for listening.